It's 88.5 KCSN. Sky Daniels here with Timothy Showalter, a.k.a. Strand of Oaks. Welcome today.
It's good to be here.
The new album, your fourth record, as I think I've done the math right, Heal. It's not only a title, but it seems like it was a command.
Yeah, I mean, the title of the record is in all capital letters simply because it's not a soft, you know.
Was that an internal directive that you came up with?
It was a chemically imbalanced directive, I think, at some point.
So it was part internal and part sort of what you thought.
Yeah, beyond, I think it was, you know, and the title actually came much earlier than most of the songs. I had the sense of Heal before I had probably the majority of the songs written. So I had the title of the record in mind with each song and how that played into the songwriting.
And the record, you know, we'll throw words around sometimes like cathartic, but you not only pursued the content of the songs and the idea of the songs, but the energy in which you presented this, you elevated the energy. Heretofore, you weren't as intense and as rocking as you came across on this record.
Yeah, I think it was an honesty level that I wanted to achieve. And if I was going to be this honest with the lyrics, and you know, there's no symbolism in the lyrics, it's just my life, I thought I would have been dishonest to myself to pair that with kind of softer, more kind of introverted music. Because honestly, I've been a rocker since I was, you know, that was the first music I listened to. And it almost felt like I didn't have the courage to finally just turn up the guitars and just play the guitars with equal intensity as the honesty of my lyrics. And because I wouldn't have wanted to listen to this record if it would have been a folk record. It wouldn't have been interesting, I think.
Yeah, you kicked it off, and the first track we got, speaking to that idea of, you know, what I think is the universal communication of rock and roll, Goshen 97, the second I heard it, I mean, the second I heard it, I related, because it is the universal kid feeling unsure of himself, but believing that rock and roll is going to be their salvation.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like as I've gotten older, I've been okay to accept cliches in life. And it might be cliche and not cool to say, but music did save my life. And it's, you know, playing music, listening to music, you know, just finding new bands and new records. And that's what that song was in respect. It was just giving respect back to all of that feeling. And the idea of, I wanted to write a song at 32 that 15-year-old me would have been proud of. And I think that's what Goshen's goal was, at least, you know.
And it is a beautiful, I mean, in the sense of, obviously, it's a great rock song, and Jay Maskus playing guitar had the irony of that in one hand, right?
Oh, and I'm so glad you caught on to that, because it's the fact that I am singing about 1997 when I was 15, when I was also listening to the man who is then playing on the song. It's like meta levels beyond belief at that point.
I was born in the middle. Maybe it's too late. Everything good had been made. So I just get loaded. I never leave my house. It's taking way too long to figure this out. Know my name, no, I mean it. It's not as bad as it seems. Yeah, we try in our own way to get better. Even if we're talking about money, I don't want to talk about luck. I hate thinking I'm not the same as I was. I lose my faith in people. Why even take the time? You've got your problems, I've got mine. Know my name, no, I mean it. It's not as bad as it seems. Yeah, we try in our own way to get better. Even if we're alone. The sun was in my eyes.
I have to believe that whenever you get in a bad car wreck and you do, you know, have the proverbial you see your life go before your eyes, that had to inspire some of the feeling of the record itself, didn't it?
That's the best way to put it, because it happened at such an interesting point in the creation of the record, where the record was recorded, written, you know, it was ready to be mixed. And we got in a just very severe car accident Christmas Day, and the record was slated to be mixed on December 28th. So I was in a kind of a short-term coma on Christmas Day, and we flew back to Philadelphia and we started the record on time. And like you said, it changed. The songs were created and written, but the feel of the record went 180, completely different. It was I did a pre-mix of the record, and it was very vibey, very kind of like 80s Born in the USA feel, you know, like more synthesizer heavy. But after the car accident, you know, maybe hearing the grinding of two semis hitting against my head, I just thought, like we were saying earlier about the honesty, and like if I'm trying to go cathartic, I'm not going to hold back, and I'm going to destroy the last bridge between my true self and what the listener hears. So there's no cover, and there's no walls. And we turned all the guitars up even louder. We made things uglier, and we made things like, we wanted to make this record that the instantly when you listen to it, I want people to turn up even louder.
Right.
I don't want people to go deaf, but I had those records when I was, you know, when I put on Led Zeppelin 4, I have to turn it up loud. Like I cannot play that record quiet. It's impossible.
Are you anxiously awaiting the remastered re-release?
I will spend all these re-releases on vinyl. I know. I'm going to go broke. It's like vinyl, and it's like new quality. And
you came up with a line in another interview that just, I mean, it's tremendous. You said that this was your breakup album, the breakup album with myself.
Yes.
And I thought,
yes.
You know what, I don't know if I've ever heard that line before, but I think I should have by now.
Yeah, I mean, we've had plenty of, and I've written them myself, heartbreak records of your partner breaking your heart or whatever, but this was myself breaking my own heart. And it was, you know, we get into these patterns of life of where I almost would have preferred just to feel pain or feel joy or something, and I wasn't allowing myself to feel any of that.
Yeah.
And the numbing of yourself, and, you know, I could hear it in my songwriting, and that's when it got most scary. I was like, I'm so removed from myself that I can't even write a song.
Ooh.
And, you know, and that's the only outlet I have in this life of between my inner voice and what people I can share. And that was when the breaking point came. I said, I am so lonely right now in my life because I am not allowing feelings in anymore. That once I did allow them in after 2 or 3 years of, you know, numbness, that's where heal came from. It was an explosion beyond the pace that I could keep up with. And my friend, who's a songwriter, he said the faucet got turned on. And there were songs falling out of that faucet faster than I could keep, you know, I couldn't keep up with how many songs came.
I was writing in the basement, buying Casios with my friend. Then I found my dad's old tape machine. That's where the magic began. I was lonely, I was having fun. I was lonely, but I was having fun. I don't want to start all over again. I don't want to start. Under my bed, before I was fat, drunk, and mean, everything still lighted. I was lonely, I was having fun. I was lonely, but I was. I don't wanna start all over again. I don't wanna start all over again. I don't wanna start all over again. I don't wanna start all
I spoke to someone once and they said, what's the difference between being lonely at 15 and being lonely at 32? And that stopped me in my tracks because I never thought about that. But the idea of when you're 15 and you're lonely and you're the awkward kid collecting records and, you know, making mixtapes, you wear it like a badge of honor. You're like,
it's how it is.
I'm the weird kid in town. Like, I'm the guy with the record collection. You know, the football players don't have this. But then when you're 32, it's like, I'm still a weird kid and I'm a grown up. And like, things are more real now.
I'm supposed to be a grown up.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be a grown up.
The good news and for you is, at my age, I still haven't totally become a grown up.
I love it.
So you got a lot of time.
You
got
a lot of time. Exactly. And, you know, and it was, Shut In was kind of, a lot of this record is, it sounds schizophrenic, but it's me talking to me in various points of my life. I'm narrating my own life, but also giving advice. And Shut In is like, it's like me standing outside of myself and like, what are you doing, Tim? Like, this is still happening. Can we move forward with
yeah.
this? And that's the question of the record. And I don't know if it's answered. You know, I feel better.
You've spoken about how the pure idea of reading a review can be a little too intimidating for you,
yeah.
good or bad. But I assume that the feedback you get from the stage, the audience's reaction to songs, has to give you a sense of, I saw it in that kid's
yeah.
face.
Yep.
He got it.
I mean, that's totally on. I mean, because since this tour started, you know, it's been the most refreshing and humbling experience of my life to play. I'll go to a show, and maybe before the show, I'll be hanging out, getting my stuff set up or outside, and someone will come up, and I've never met them before, and in 10 seconds, they share the you know, most real part of their lives with me, because they're like, I listened to your record when I was doing this and I was going through this. And I then share back some, you know, and it becomes this like not uncomfortable situation, but it's like
bonding.
This is the communication I want. I don't want communication via a link or something, or I'm not anti-technology, but I get so isolated by modern forms of communication that to me, that's making me a better person by just, because I don't go out. I mean, I wrote a song called Shut In. I don't leave my house much. So I don't talk to a lot of people. So to find these people and connect with these people every night of this tour, whether it's, you know, 500 people to show or 50 people, it's like no one is coming casually. And there's no like cool points people are trying to get. People come because they mean it, and I come because I mean it. And that's why, like, we'll play in front of 50 people and it'll feel like a stadium, because it's like everyone is there full force.
Black boots, black jeans, black beard, walking down the street in the morning air. Then I lit up a cigarette, put my headphones on, and I listened to Van Etten sing. You gotta give up, give out, give up, give out, give up, give out, give up, give in, give out, give up, give in, give in. I was better than I felt in years. Then I looked to the streets, I looked to my fears. I know that something was going round these tears. I was hurting people so close to me. I spent 10 long years feeling so bad. I know you cheated on me, but I cheated on myself. I was falling way out when she sent those pictures off. And I knew it wasn't me, and I knew it wasn't her. And I knew it wasn't me, and I knew it wasn't her. And I knew it wasn't me, and I knew it wasn't her. You gotta give up, give out, give up, give out, give up, give out, give up, give in, give up, give out. You gotta heal. You gotta heal. You gotta heal. You gotta heal. Take it even further back to darker times. When I drank too much, you know I took too much. I lied to all my friends about who I was. Kayla, listen to me, I'm all grown up. I spent 2 long years losing my mind. Thank you, Christian, for keeping me clean. And we're painted like the warrior. And we're painted like the warrior. And we're painted. Gotta heal.
I believed what you were writing and could feel it, so I'm sure that anyone who comes to see you, and they have a chance tomorrow night at the Echo,
yeah,
you're gonna bring it, right?
Well, we're gonna bring it hard.
You're gonna, because you brought it today.
Yeah, and that's just with the piano,
right?
So, which I can barely play. So we're gonna bring it real hard in the Echo.
Well,
yeah.
Everyone who knows Strand of Oaks and has already heard the album Heal, you know what you're in for. If you're hearing this this afternoon, and you identify with some of the things we talked about, which is rock and roll music has not only been a guide, but sometimes been the destination for our lives. You're going to see a guy who's going to pound the pulpit tomorrow night in Timothy Showalter, a.k.a. Strand of Oaks. We want to thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
And keep feeling what you're feeling now, because it's a good feeling.
Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure for us. It's Strand of Oaks, and it's live on 88.5 KCSN.